You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, I got you. Nothing to laugh about here. Worst year ever, 2020. Canceled everything. I just found out they canceled Christmas. What's the point? What's the point of anything? You see what's on the tube.
We will make America strong again. And yes, together, we will make America great again.
Honey, round up the reindeer, get the elves. Christmas is a go this year.
Thanks, Santa, and I agree. Christmas is on. It's going to be the best ever. It's been a tough year, but it's going to end great. Get out those Christmas decorations, put up that tree, and get into the Christmas spirit because the King is with us. Make this the best Christmas ever. 323-8650.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thanks so much for making that possible. Great lineup of guests today. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, is with us. We'll talk with Dr. Randy Fries, who is a trauma surgeon but a member of the State House of Representatives, about how prepared Arizona is for the dissemination of vaccine to battle the COVID-19. Jim Hanley is with us. The Dow hit 30,000. What does it mean to you, even if you don't own stock? We'll be talking with all three of these great guests. Get it on this 28th day of November. Thanks for being with us. Here's Jeff Rogers. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, we have a situation where the president still won't bring himself to concede the election. He decisively lost to President-elect Joe Biden. He now acknowledges, though, he's going to apparently leave the White House if Biden's win is affirmed by the Electoral College, which is firmly on track to do that in just a couple of weeks. How much damage can Trump do before he goes out the door?
Well, he can do a lot of damage. I mean, there's some really troubling things brewing that could be disastrous. I mean, he could basically attack Iran on the eve of Joe Biden taking over the presidency. I mean, we saw this assassination, which apparently appears to be attributed to the Israelis, of the nuclear scientist in Iran. They call him the Oppenheimer of Iran, and he is, it looks like that was done by the Israelis, and it looks like they probably were responsible for the destruction of that nuclear facility in June of this past year as well. I think that Israel and Netanyahu realized that they couldn't pull off something like this once Biden took over, and so they're going to get these hits in early, and I'm gravely concerned that it could drag America into a war with Iran, which is what, you know, an awful lot of people have wanted to do on the Republican side for a long time. So I think we'll all be sitting on pins and needles all the way up until noon on January the 20th, wondering what kind of further damage he could do. I think he's practically trying to salt the earth in back of him as he leaves office so that he can create as disastrous of a circumstance for Biden to take over, as if we don't already have that with the coronavirus out of control and explosively out of control right now. But I think Trump is going to try to leave as much bad stuff in Biden's basket as he can.
You know, this vote certification at local and state level, typically attached, that gets little notice, but changed with Trump's fierce and somewhat fruitless, I guess you could call it, legal challenges and attempts to manipulate the certification process in the battleground states he lost. You as a lawyer had to be just absolutely amused or intrigued by these attempts by the Biden and by the Trump administrations to overturn the Biden win. Some of it was so absurd, it was laughable. What was your take?
Oh, well, not only that, but for the past 20 years, I've been working with on behalf of the Democratic Party and myself for preserving election integrity in Pima County. And I'm pleased and proud to say that we probably have one of the finest systems for vote counting in the entire country, in both Pima County and in Maricopa County, and all over the state of Arizona. We have a very responsible system that works very well and that is beyond reproach. And I think that's the case in most places. I think tomorrow night on 60 Minutes, we're going to hear from the Homeland Security person who was in the head of cybersecurity, who came out right after the election and said that this was probably the most seamless, best protection to the election in American history. And then he was promptly fired by Trump for saying that. So, I think it went well all across the nation. For the most part, there are always a few glitches here and there, but not enough to really matter or change an election. And, the legal work has been laughable. I mean, they from misspelling the word district court to just submitting, ridiculous claims with no basis in fact or law. And, we have a rule in that's called Rule 11. It's a rule in the civil procedure in both state courts and in federal court that prohibits lawyers from filing frivolous lawsuits that have no basis in fact or law or an extension of the law. And, I think most of the pleadings filed by the Trump organization and campaign have fit that category, and these lawyers should be sanctioned. And there are people who filed bar complaints against Rudy Giuliani in multiple states, and I think they're viable complaints. I think these people were reckless and careless, and they continue to speak of what is virtually nonsense. It's just nonsense. These claims of fraud and mistakes and errors, and it's just nonsense. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these lawyers sanctioned for their behavior. And we saw both here in Arizona and in other states, major reputable law firms withdraw from representation of the Trump campaign, such as the largest law firm in Arizona, Snell and Wilmer, withdrew from representation because they wouldn't allow basically their lawyers to make frivolous claims and besmirch the reputation of the law firm by going out there and pushing these scandalous false claims of the Trump campaign. So hopefully there are some ramifications to this and some punishments. I honestly believe some of these lawyers should receive some punishments.
By the way,
if nothing else, they should have to pay the legal fees of the other side.
Your take on the Biden administration's appointment of new cabinet members and such, what kind of administration are we going to be looking at when we swear in Joe Biden as the next president of the United States?
Well, I think there's two observations I take away from all of his initial announcements. And one of them is that he is appointing people who are professionals in their area. We're not going to have amateur hour anymore like we've seen for 4 years. And we're not going to see a bunch of ridiculous, people who are in there because of their crazy beliefs. We're seeing real true professionals who've served this country in multiple capacities before and are highly admired in their field by others of their ilk. The second thing I take away from what's been going on here is that there are some people that I think he might like to appoint, but he realizes they're going to have trouble getting through Senate confirmation, like Susan Rice, who is a very trusted advisor, someone he considered for vice president, and somebody he might have considered for Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or something of that ilk. But she, you know, we would see a situation where they would want to relitigate all that crazy, idiotic Benghazi stuff all over again if he nominated someone like that. And so I think he's being cautious and careful and getting mainstream nominees that he believes he can get through the Senate confirmation process. Because after all, we've got to put an end to these acting heads of departments. I mean, that's, you know, that should have never been tolerated. And many of the things these people did are now being overturned by courts saying they had no authority to do what they did because they weren't approved by the Senate and were in only in an acting capacity, and it violates the law for them to act in that capacity. So I think you're going to see, you know, pretty much mainstream people that are really not terribly controversial. They're just really, really competent. And that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to be able to, you know, not wake up with surprises every morning and not wonder whether or not, you know, we're in danger every night when I go to bed. I'm happy to say that, you know, we're reentering the phase where competence is important.
We're talking with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Jeff, let me take a quick break and come back with me, please. We'll return with Jeff Rogers after these messages. There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the holidays. And now you can feel a new sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood Homestyle Gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party and one of the best defense lawyers in America. Jeff, does Mark Kelly take his Senate seat early here? Is that the end of a particular term for the John McCain seat? I'm not sure.
Well, I think I wonder what's going to happen with that. I think that Kelly is a very, very good candidate, and I think he'll be able to hold it in 2 years, but I just have to wonder who the Republicans are going to run. I mean, Ducey's never seemed like he's somebody who really cares to be a senator, but, you know, he's also, you know, navigating the coronavirus kind of like he doesn't care about his political future or if he has any political future. So, you know, I'm a little up in the air as to what's going to happen with McCain's Senate seat there. I think we'll be able to hold on to that in 2 years, but I think it'll also, you know, when push comes to shove, it's going to be a really expensive race again, because that's going to be one of the things that the Republicans think is maybe some low hanging fruit. And I was pleased to hear the news today that it appears that Biden is going to appoint McCain's wife to be the ambassador to England, to the United Kingdom.
So wow,
that's quite a
court
deal.
Of St. James. That's amazing, really. Holy cow. Well,
yeah, I mean, that might be the biggest plum of all of the ambassador appointments. I mean, it's probably the one that is the most enjoyable and least problematic, except maybe for Germany. I mean, you're not going to see a tremendous number of crises to develop between, you know, America and Great Britain. So it's, you know, kind of it's a real plum of an appointment, I'd say.
Well, I always look for an ambassadorship to the Seychelles Islands, but nobody ever called me, but I always submitted my name. Let me ask you a little bit about how blue Arizona is after 2020. How blue are we?
Well, I think the big surprise for me, the old recipe for winning in Arizona, the Napolitano recipe, was don't lose too bad in Maricopa County. Try to break close to even in the rural areas and then swamp them in Pima County. And that's how she won. And that's how the few statewide Democrats who have won have used that recipe for many years. But that's changing. Maricopa County is changing. And there's an awful lot of influx from out of state, particularly from California and other states. And that those voters are voting Democratic. And so we're starting to see something that surprises me a lot, especially if you'd asked me 10 years ago, would Maricopa County be a blue county? And I think that's what's driving, you know, success here. And the bluer Maricopa County gets, I mean, we still won most statewide races by over 100,000 votes here in Pima County. So, you know, this is a place where you build up margin. But if you can win even ever so slightly in Maricopa County, run up a big margin in Pima County, and not lose too badly in the rural counties, that's the recipe for winning statewide. And we've now seen it a couple times with Sinema and with Kelly and of course Biden. So I think we have a positive blue future, but with one caveat. Off-year elections, typically, unlike 2018, that was an untypical one, off-year elections where there's no president on the ballot, the turnout seems to plummet. And it seems to plummet more with the people that we need the most to keep Arizona blue. And that would be, you know, Democrat-leaning Latinos and young people and all the kind of people who really showed up in wide margins this time around that don't always show up. But, you know, we're going to have to work that crowd and those constituencies very hard in order to keep Arizona blue and pick up a few more legislative seats in 2022 and maybe the governorship. Democratic Party, it's interesting to talk there. People are talking about, will it be the Secretary of State or will it be Stanton? Will Stanton give up his congressional seat to run for governor? I mean, those are big questions around the corner for us.
So those are the two names you've heard as far as a gubernatorial candidate?
Those are the two that I've been hearing, yeah, you know, panting about, and both of them would be excellent candidates.
As you take a look at some of these congressional races across the state, of course, this Democratic Party has 5 of the 9, and there's going to be an additional congressional seat here coming up soon. Will that take place after the census for 2022?
Well, it's difficult to say. There's a Supreme Court case that's going to come up here pretty soon where we're going to find out whether or not this Supreme Court is going to become so radical that they throw out over 250 years of law and try to eliminate the counting of non-citizens. And if that happens, California will lose congressional seats. Arizona may not gain the next one that they should get. We're going to be on pins and needles awaiting what's going to happen in this lawsuit that's now before the Supreme Court. So that could really affect things. I mean, it could mean that, you know, instead of Iowa or Ohio losing a seat and it going to Arizona or California or Texas, that instead those seats remain in the Midwest and other places that have fewer non-citizen people that would be counted in the census.
By the way,
that's kind of up in the air.
The Board of Supervisors has a whole new look, 4 new people here. The Rex Scott win surprise you, and the astounding defeat of Valdez by Matt Hines, I think, was the shocker of the primaries. What about this Democratic Party and some of these rather unusual things that you have to chalk up to, well, the Biden and Trump battle that brought out voters in record numbers we've never seen before?
Well, I think the demographics of District 1 changed somewhat over the last 4 years. And the Republican margin, you know, slimmed down. And Scott hired my former executive director at the Pima County Democratic Party, Adam Kinsey, to run his campaign. And Adam has had a remarkable string of successes lately. He ran Raheena Romero's campaign. He's had a string of successes. He's a brilliant political operative, and I think he's probably starting to get national attention. And Rex did, I think when I talked to Rex on the phone one day, you know, he said, what are the kinds of things you think I ought to do to win this? And I said, do everything Adam tells you to do. and
follow directions.
He did, and I think he did, and he prevailed. And, I'm kind of disappointed in Steve Christie. I didn't think he was as crazy as Ali Miller, but he seems to, you know, be of the ilk right now where he's trying to put on her hat and say, you know, if we're going to have one crazy person, I volunteer to be the one on the board.
Doesn't believe in climate change.
I mean, his vote to not certify the election was just an abomination. I mean, just ridiculous.
I thought so, too. I thought Christie was insane for a few moments and maybe more. Quickly, what about the Matt Hines win over Valadez, the longtime supervisor?
That was Adam Kinsey. Adam ran Hines's campaign. He was his campaign person. So, again, I have to attribute a lot of that to Adam. But, you know, I think maybe as we look back on it, maybe Valadez didn't take the challenge as seriously as he should have, knowing that he'd been there for so long, maybe his heart just wasn't in the campaign but then again, you know, we had issues where Ramon was a little, you know, I remember that Stone Garden funding debate and he kind of didn't have his eye on his base when those votes were taking place.
Oh, I remember that specifically. Jeff, we're out of time. Yeah. I really appreciate the part of the weekend you've given up to being on our show, and I have such an admiration for your insight, and that's why we're just so pleased to have you.
Thank you so much,
thank
John,
you.
And
thank
I'm
you.
So sorry for your loss this past week. And
thank you.
Hang in there.
I will do that. Thank you. Jeff Rogers.
Bye-bye.
Former chair of the Democratic Party, coming up next. Trauma surgeon, member of the House of Representatives, Dr. Randy Freese.
All right, get in, son. It's cold, isn't it? Boy, it really is the most wonderful time of the year. You know, son, it's going to be great getting away to the White Mountains this year for Christmas. We'll all be together.
Sounds like fun, Dad.
I can't wait.
Hey, Dad, I think that's really cool the way you got the dashboard lit up like a Christmas tree.
well... Not exactly, son. You see, the red light is the battery warning light, and the yellow one is the check engine light, and the red light flashing is the engine oil warning light. There's another one. That's the brake warning light. What? And the smoke? Huh? That's the... Oh, no. Come on. Don't go through this thing.
You know, the bright lights of the Christmas season are wonderful, but don't let them come from your dashboard. From the headlights to the taillights, we can get you ready for that journey without all the drama. Batteries, wiring, and even that pesky check engine light. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Together they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Keeney's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The breads, the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite. And Guinea's French Cafe offers a casual atmosphere and a delightful French cuisine at moderate prices. Dine in or take out. Guinea's is perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering special coffees, lattes, French wine, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have become Tucson's destination to dine in or take out. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, trauma surgeon, member of the State House of Representatives, Dr. Randy Freese. Doctor, thanks for being with us. I appreciate you spending part of your weekend with us. Thank you.
My pleasure, John.
How prepared is the state of Arizona for the dissemination of vaccine were to be delivered through the states? And I assume that that's the way the national government's going to do it, is to give it to the states, and the states will distribute it under some kind of formula. Do you understand any way that's going to happen now that apparently some of the distribution will begin soon?
I've heard the same thing. I'm sure that DEMA and DHS have a plan. They have not shared that plan with us, members of the legislature. But I have full confidence that they have a plan and a priority schedule. I would imagine that frontline workers, healthcare workers, paramedics, EMS, and our delivery people, our food people, are one of the first ones to get it, as they should.
By the way, there were 318,638 numbers of cases of COVID-19 in Arizona. We've got 6,588 dead. What did Arizona do right and what did it do wrong, Doctor?
Well, I think what we've done, I think there's a lot more things that we've done wrong. One of the things that we did do right, I think, was, you know, we were very aggressive in the summer when we needed to be. I think that we probably should have reopened more slowly when we did, with an eye to the economy, an eye to safety. You know, luckily in Arizona, we have good weather. Up until this time of year, things are getting a little cooler. We could have done more outdoor dining. You know, I think the governor was trying to be creative. One of the biggest mistakes he's made is he does not mandate mask wearing. There should be a statewide mandate for mask wearing.
We're going to see a surge after the holiday season. There's no question about it. So many people went home anyway for Thanksgiving and gathered. We're going to see the same thing, I'm sure, at Christmas. This is far from over, isn't it? I mean, there are going to be many more dead, and we may be living with this COVID-19 for another year, perhaps, even with a vaccine.
Well, I think you're right. It is far from over, but the vaccine will help. What we need to be very careful of is I think the ICU care providers are really decreasing the death rates from COVID from the summer when we were first getting our big surge. But we need to be very careful that we don't fill our hospitals up with COVID patients and then we can't take care of our trauma patients and our heart attacks and those people who need emergency surgery, right? We have to be very careful about our capacities, making sure that we're creating a surge capacity where we can, and, you know, begin to think about elective procedures. You know, certainly that's the lifeblood of hospitals, is doing elective surgeries. But again, we have to be very careful that we aren't so full with COVID that we can't manage other emergencies.
We've got Governor Ducey funneling about $400 million of federal coronavirus relief funds to state agencies to help pay for operations and allowing them to return some of the original budget allocations to the state treasury. This move, by the way, is not necessarily what the rules say about spending all this federal money. Are you following this at all, the amount of money that's flowed to the federal government and the way the governor's decided to spend it?
Yes, yes, yes. It's very surprising. I did read about $400 million were sent to agencies to pay agency budgets, and then that money will flow back to the general fund. I don't believe that's what the federal government had intended. Is it to the letter of the law? You know, maybe, you know, if he can sort of hand wave it away and saying, yes, it did, you know, eventually pay for people that were in public safety or something like that, that could be, you know, COVID related. I don't think it was the intention of the CARES Act, so I think it is a little stretching. You know, that's something I'd be interested in looking at our statutes and saying, I think our statutes are very precise about what the governor can do with state funds. I think there might be a void, maybe a little bit need for direction of what oversight the legislature should have for federal funds.
You're still suffering the effects of the coronavirus with our economy. So many folks out of work. We have so many people really hardly surviving on the unemployment money, and there are many that apparently just have given up. We're going to go through some difficult economic times. How prepared is the state to deal with this depression, recession that has to follow all the way through the end of this pandemic?
Well, surprisingly, the economic forecast right now for next fiscal year is not as dire as the initial thoughts were this summer. The legislative economists are calling for, I think the last I saw, about $800 million that can be spent in the next fiscal year, which isn't too dire. But we do have to be very careful that we continue those forecasts and watch how we're spending and watch, you know, of course, healthcare and public safety, things like that. Our schools need to be supported. Hopefully we won't need to be doing any major cutting. But I think the most important thing is we certainly aren't in the $1.1 billion deficit that was predicted just this summer.
By the way, how well-positioned are Democrats, even though they don't have a majority in the House of Representatives, to at least be listened to and paid attention to and perhaps be successful in the platform of the Democratic Party as you move into another legislative session. These numbers are not what you wanted them to be, but they're pretty close.
You know, that's a great point, John. I thought that we would end up with a Democratic majority, at least in the House. But if you look at the election, clearly the legislature, you know, it's very close as it was. We picked up two seats. We picked up one Senate seat and one House seat, but we did lose a House seat. So we did pick up legislative seats where across the country the Democratic caucuses have lost seats. But if you look at this election cycle and the things that were on the ballot, this was not a mandate for conservative values. We elected Joe Biden president. We elected Mark Kelly as senator. We elected the top vote getter for CorpCom was a Democrat, Anna Tovar. And then we passed marijuana, recreational, and Prop 208. So these are very progressive ideas that are passing statewide. So I think it's just that Arizona is shifting. Change takes time. People need to be comfortable. And I think people are comfortable voting for the statewide ticket. We're just not getting that comfort down to the legislative level. I think we will.
Your priorities for this next legislative session, Doctor?
I'm going to focus on some of the reasons I went into the legislature. Public health, public safety. I'm going to be back on the health committee. And also gun safety legislation, responsible gun ownership. I'm going to renew my focus. And what I'd like to do is affect small change, meaningful change. And that was the problem with some of the legislation that the gun safety legislation the governor was trying to pass a few years ago. There was not meaningful change. So I think if we can just get together, and I think we can. I've met with NRA representatives. I've met with the Arizona Civil Defense League, and I think there's some small ideas that we can come together and affect meaningful change for comfortably. And that's what we need to do is work together, build trust, and solve these problems incrementally.
Doctor, we're so fortunate to have you in the House of Representatives, and I'm so pleased that you join us on this Saturday afternoon. I thank you for being a part of the show, and I'm grateful that you had decided to share some of your thoughts with us. I hope to talk with you again soon. Thanks for being with us, Doctor. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Dr. Randy Freese, member of the State House of Representatives, Legislative District 9. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. S&P 500 rose to a record high on Friday. Plus, this followed the Dow hitting 30,000. What does that mean to your pocketbook, whether you're in the market or not? Financial expert Jim Hanley is my guest next.
La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell offers the finest baked goods of the season. Pies galore, strawberry rhubarb, German apple, pumpkin, blueberry, cherry, apple, and more. And the breads of the season, French whole wheat and multigrain and artisan. Call 322-6297 to place your order. La Baguette Bakery wishes you the best holiday ever. La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell is Tucson's favorite bakery. Make this holiday dinner very special with the breads, the pies, the sweet tines, and the gourmet pound cakes of the season. Call La Baguette Bakery to place your order. Call 322-6297.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit AckerleyAdvertising.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Financial expert Jim Hanley is with us now. Jim, welcome to the show. You got the S&P 500 rising to a record high on Friday, and of course, the Dow hitting 30,000. What does that mean to all of us, or any of us for that matter, Jim?
Well, it's great to see that milestone achieved, of course, John. I'm sure that it's not bad for the economy when the Dow hits a record like that. I think that it's inspiring. I think that it adds a certain amount of confidence to the smallholders when they see it hit a high milestone like that. So I think it buoys it somewhat, but it's important to keep in mind that there's no such thing as a support level that a lot of brokers talk about a lot. It can fall, and it has fallen, you know, significantly many, many times in its history since 1884. So it can come back down, that's for sure.
Well, when people say, look at the stock market, does that mean the economy looks as good as those numbers? How do you relate the stock market numbers to the economy?
You know, it's hard to do that, John. I will say this, that usually I believe that recessions are discovered after the fact. Usually we'll see a market have three consecutive quarters of declines, and that's a bellwether for a recession. And like the recession in 2008, I think that was discovered about 6 months after it actually began. So it doesn't mean that the economy is rolling along very good, but it can certainly help it come along. Something that a lot of people are not, you know, aware of is a metric that's called capacity utilization. And so, you know, every quarter, the Commerce Department polls corporations around the country to ask them to what extent they're using their full productive capacity. And, you know, you can... A couple of points change means a lot, because if a company has excess capacity, that means that, you know, they're not employing as many workers certainly as they could. Right now, I think that the capacity utilization is about 71%, and so if we see the utilization growing, you know, getting up into the high 70s or so forth, generally means that there are more people employed, and there is more demand for what is being produced. So I think that, you know, if you're going to look at other metrics, there's better ones, you know, if you want to gauge how the economy itself is doing. Unemployment numbers is important, because, you know, we know that if the rate of unemployment is lower, typically that means that more people are working, and if workers are in demand, it usually means that incomes are rising. So that, you know, that also means that our economy is doing well. GDP, what? You know, is measured every quarter too. So it's another measure of you know, the economic condition. Stock market numbers is not such an accurate you know, indicator of that.
Well, of course, everything that goes up has to come down. But when you see a market surge to a record high like that, is that a time to get in or a time to get out?
Well, that's a good question, John. I will say this, that it's a mistake that most amateur investors make. They will buy in on what we call momentum when they see 2 or 3, 4 months of what appears to be a rising market is when they will buy in, and that is not optimal. There's a cycle in which investors buy and sell in and out of the market without good professional advice. And so by and large, when you see record highs, it's not the greatest time to invest. Now, market timing over a longer period of time becomes less and less of a performance factor, and that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, in the short run, 4, 5, 6 years out, the level of the stock market will certainly have an impact on your portfolio performance. But it's smoothed out the farther in time you get from your investment. So, you know, if investors are trying to time the market, they may miss these surges that can mean a lot down the road. And generally, advisors advise people, if they're considering investing, to not try to time the market, but to come on in where it's at and, you know, do some careful picking of mutual funds. And, you know, I've said I do recommend them for small holders for purposes of diversification. There are certain metrics you can look at when you're considering, you know, a stock or a mutual fund. The primary one, the one that most people talk about and look at, is the price to earnings ratio.
By the way, positive developments on the vaccine front, of course, have driven double-digit gains in some major indexes this month as investors look forward to progress in gaining control over the pandemic. We're going to be, I think, guided by optimism and the idea we're going to get out of this pandemic and we're going to be able to renew or resume what we thought was a normal life. And that's what we're all looking for. So I suppose there's reason to be optimistic, but the reality of the death toll and the tremendous number of ill people in this country is just so daunting that we think maybe that'll never get better.
It sure is, John, and it's certainly demoralizing a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans are weary of suppression efforts. And, you know, I pointed out last week that we had a flat market last week, and that was when four companies, Pfizer announced maybe the week before last or maybe even 3 weeks ago, but three other companies, Moderna came out, and Moderna's, vaccine seems to be a lot more practical than Pfizer's, you know, with that tremendous sub-freezing temperatures that it requires. So, but we didn't see a tremendous reaction in the market to that news because the jobs numbers came out, and the jobs numbers reflected the surge in this pandemic. They are up again over last week. I think they're up again another 30,000. There's about 772,000 new claims filed last week. We're probably pushing up against 7 million claims, people on claim. And so those numbers are much more immediate than the prospects for vaccine and the conquering of this, you know, of this pandemic. We, as I said last week, there's a lot of pain to come, even through the first quarter of this year, because we have this surge. I think I saw that this past week we had the largest number of infections in a single week ever. We passed what April's numbers were, and so that, you know, savvy investors realize that in that condition, business activity is hampered, and it has to be by necessity. We can't just ignore the spread of the virus and pretend that we can have business as usual. We have to address it, and that means a curtailing of business activity. With that being said, I did see that there was $6 billion that was spent on Thanksgiving Day. Black Friday, another 10 was spent, even though people, you know, were not in retail stores at the level that they have been.
Jim,
there's another... Go ahead, John.
No, we're just about out of time here. I want people to call you at 623-3646 because receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times that we've just been talking about can make all the difference. I have such a high regard for you, Jim Hanley, and I'm urging people to want to get into the market and keep what they've got and improve on their financial statement, should call you at 623-3646. Thanks, Jim. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me, John.
You bet.
Always enjoy it.
Thank you. 623-3646. Call Jim Hanley. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Holly, Christmas, Rudolph. Looks like we're going down.
Ah! Game over, man. Game over. Mayday, mayday. We're going down.
Unidentified aircraft. This is the Tucson Tower. You're invading TSA airspace. State your business.
Tucson Tower, this is Santa making a forced landing to Perfection Auto Works for a fast repair. Got to deliver toys and gifts to all the children on the planet.
Santa Claus? Are you crazy? It's Christmas Eve, and you didn't take your sleigh to Perfection Auto Works for the free 26-point inspection before your journey? What would the children think?
Ho, 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 and a word to those who listen. Take your car to Perfection Auto Works and let your car repairs glisten.
Santa, thank you for saving Christmas and taking your car to Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650, perfectionautoworks.com.